This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Offense Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Hour number two starts like this.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. And on top of being our Odyssey Sports NFL insider, Ross is calling the game with our guy Ian Eagle tomorrow night for Westwood One. Ross, what's up, man? How are you?
Craig, fantastic. Fired up for tomorrow night. Should be epic. You know, I knew I was doing this game months ago, and candidly, I didn't know it would be this big of a game. I'm so fired up. Although I will say this, everybody this whole August and July, when they would ask me who my surprise team would be in the NFL, I didn't really know who to say, so I would just say the Commanders, just because all the guys, all the quarterback gurus that had come on my show, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, before the draft, they just raved and raved about Jaden Daniels. So I guess I was like, you know what? Maybe Jaden Daniels and the Commanders can be this year's C.J. Stroud and the Texans. And looks like I was right. I mean, it's kind of happening.
It certainly has. I spent a lot of the summer telling people, like, hey, like, it could happen, but don't get your hopes up too high. Like, what CJ did is pretty unprecedented. To think it'll happen 2 years in a row, it seems unlikely, but unlikely is not impossible, Ross, and thus here we are. Yet, Jaden coming off of, like, saying it's his worst game of the season, at least since Tampa, like, okay, fine. He wasn't amazing. Like, he's been in every other game. It's not like he was bad. But the one element that I thought was really interesting is the lack of rushing yardage in that game for Jaden, because it's been such a huge part of keeping this offense on schedule, extending drives and letting them do what they do. Do you think what Pittsburgh was able to do to him is repeatable by the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow night?
I do. I think a couple things. Part of me wonders just how different, you know, Jaden has been a little bit since the rib injury. It just doesn't feel like their offense has been as explosive, whether that's him running or taking, you know, deeper shots down the field, being explosive. I know he threw the Hail Mary, Lind. I get it. Like, I know that. But the numbers have not been as good since the rib injury, and I wonder if part of that is, you know, them protecting him a little bit with the run game, maybe him protecting himself. I do think, you know, defenses have done a better job of being ready for that, prepared for that. You kind of should be at this point, right? I mean, you know, enough teams run kind of the zone read stuff, have the quarterback pull it, that I think you would think that they would always have a guy accounting for Daniels, which is fine, because that still opens things up for Eckler or Brian Robinson or whoever, just having someone have to account for Jaden.
And then obviously we get the news today that Brian Robinson is going to be back for Washington. The numbers are pretty remarkable in terms of success rate and pure yardage when B-Rob is playing versus when he's not. What do you see, especially with your expert as a former O-lineman, although I should say once an O-lineman, always an O-lineman, with your O-line expertise, watching this run game with B-Rob versus without it and knowing that he's going to be back tomorrow night?
Well, first of all, I always think that's interesting. I'm always a little bit surprised when a guy doesn't play on Sunday but then does play on Thursday. I think it speaks to, I guess, the importance of the game. Because a lot of times, you know, you get to this point, if the guy wasn't able to play on Sunday, a lot of times, you know, they won't play him in the Thursday night game because then he gets 10 more days. You know, then he's really back. I think it speaks to just how important they feel like B-Rob is in this game. And I would agree. it's really remarkable what the Eagles have done with their secondary. You know, they drafted guys with their first two picks in Quinyon Mitchell in the first round and Cooper DeJean in the second round, and they're both really good already, which I feel like doesn't happen that often in the NFL, but you guys are kind of seeing it too with Stanmer still. It's just, it's really, really impressive. They've been a huge upgrade. So I do think that's what I would do if I were the Commanders. I would try to attack the Eagles' run defense and see what you can get done there, because they have been so good in the secondary. And I think Robinson, although I'm an Eckler fan, I always will be, I think he always finds a way to be productive. I would certainly try to mix and match those two guys and play a similar game to a couple years ago. I called the Thursday night game, can't remember if it was Thursday night or Monday night game, a couple years ago when, I mean, that's the best roster the Eagles have ever had in 22. Maybe even the best team they've ever had. They didn't end up winning the Super Bowl. They made a couple mistakes, lost to the Chiefs. But the only game they lost that year before the Super Bowl where Hurts was the starting quarterback was that game against the Commanders a couple years ago when they just pounded B-Rob and converted a bunch of third downs and the Eagles never had the ball. So I think they'll probably try to go with a similar strategy.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey Sports NFL insider with us here on the Hoffman Show. And again, insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Ross, this team, the Eagles, since their week 5 bye is undefeated. They've changed a bunch of stuff in terms of how much they're using press man. They're running more from the under center versus the gun. Offensively, defensively, they made real changes. Which to you is the most important thing, whether schematically or just attitudinally within that team, which seems way more functional than the dysfunction it had earlier this season of how they've been able to turn it around?
I think the two things that have jumped out to me is that unlike the first 4 weeks, Hurts just hasn't been turning it over. You know, and that's made a gigantic difference on the offensive side of the ball. So I don't know that that has anything to do with schematic as much as it has to do with him just taking care of the football, although he did have two turnovers Sunday against the Cowboys. Meanwhile, you know, defensively, it's hard to know how much of it is just them having a better feel for Vic Fangio's scheme and having proper leverage and playing things the right way, versus how much has just been the significant upgrade at nickel corner with Cooper DeJean. I mean, it's just such an important position, and Cooper DeJean has been fantastic. I mean, Avante Maddox was a liability. Even last year, the other corner, I would say, in James Bradbury, was a liability. Now these two rookies, Quinyon Mitchell has been playing the whole year, and Cooper DeJean, who they didn't insert in the lineup until after the bye, they've just made a big difference. I mean, like, Cooper DeJean's making tackles for losses against Jamar Chase on fourth and short. I mean, they've been very, very impressive. And so I think it's a combo of just more familiarity with Fangio's scheme, which is natural with new coordinators, but then also the personnel addition of DeJean. They went from a liability to a strength at one of the most important positions, especially when it comes down to, you know, third downs, which is the money down. So often teams look to attack the slot. They look to attack that nickel corner, and DeJean has just been like nails.
I think that's a great point, and he has been unbelievable. I was reading some of the NFL Next Gen stats they put out, and I think DeJean has like the best success rate since week 6 on balls thrown his way in the league. It's like 76% or something like that. Absurd. And then Mitchell has been really good on the outside too, and he's been playing more press man than he did earlier in the season. And I'm curious what you think of the matchup between he and Terry McLaurin, because Mitchell always lines up at right corner, and Terry mostly lines up up at left outside wide receiver, so those two will be matched up. Do you think that Vic Fangio is going to leave Mitchell one-on-one without help with McLaurin over there, or do you think that they'll be providing help and it's going to be on the Ecklers, the Noah Browns, the Luke McCaffreys, the Olamide Zaccheauses of the world to try to make things happen outside of Terry?
Well, I think they'll change it up. You know, as you know, you never do the same thing every play, but any Eagles fan would tell you that even if they don't have true two safeties deep and a safety over the top of Terry, they better at least have, you know, whether it's Blankenship or Gardner Johnson, they better at least be heavily leaning that way, because McLaurin has absolutely murdered the Eagles over the years. He's such a good player. And quite frankly, when you look at the other guys, man, you got to make them beat you, right? I mean, I know Noah Brown does some positive things. Everybody loves Ertz for what he did in Philly. But in terms of actually guys that can make explosive plays and be the difference in the game, it seems like it would make a lot of sense to not let that be Scary Terry.
Definitely would. He is on a heater right now as well. Had over 100 yards again. A lot of it against Joey Porter Jr. on Sunday. Again, Ross will be on the call with Ian Eagle tomorrow night here. Not on the Team 980. We unfortunately cannot carry that. Although many of Westwood One's NFL broadcasts you can hear. And we will have Ian on the show to get things started with us at 4 o'clock on Friday. Ross, always great to chat, man. Appreciate it. And it's going to be a fun one. Have a blast tomorrow night.
Thanks so much, Craig. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. That's Ross Tucker, our Odyssey Sports NFL insider. And his appearances are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, let's react to some of what Ross had to say as we continue to preview this Commanders-Eagles Thursday Night Football Showdown. And then coming up at 5:30, it is Competition Wednesday. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. We're going to make a quick left turn in response to something that is happening here locally in multiple senses. And I guess it's in all senses, because it's happening locally because it's happening locally. We're going to pay attention to a senator from Montana again, Steve Daines, who is for some reason taking on the hobby horse of the Commander's name and logo as his own thing in a political stunt where he is claiming to represent constituents of his. And I will remind everybody before we hear from Steve Daines, who just spoke about this on the Senate floor, something that is happening literally a mile and a half from us where I sit right now in the District of Columbia, that if the team was looking to build a new stadium in Maryland or Virginia, Steve Daines' opinion on the matter wouldn't matter at all. This is only happening because the Commanders are trying to get back the ability to play at RFK Stadium, something that the team wants, something that the city would like to explore. It should be up to the citizens of the District of Columbia to make this decision for themselves. We are adults in this city. We pay taxes. We are citizens of a local jurisdiction just like anywhere else, except for the part where we're not a state. And for some reason, a senator from Montana gets to get up on the Senate floor. And Anthony, do we have what Mr. Daines had to say? Say stuff like this.
And I've got to tell you, the censorship of honorable Native imagery certainly does not promote diversity, equity, or inclusion. Now, let me be clear. For anyone who's been following this issue for the past few months knows this. I am not calling for the return of the former team name. Let me say that again, because there's folks who twist this. I am not calling for the return of the former team name, which had become increasingly controversial, especially in Indian country. But unlike the former name, the logo was rarely a subject of controversy. And in fact, was never alleged to be disparaging during the trademark disputes against the team that spanned many years. And while some individuals might object to teams featuring any tribal imagery, however honorable and realistic, there's no doubt in my mind that the overwhelming majority of fans in Indian country and beyond believe that Washington's former logo is honorable and it's a point of pride.
Oh boy. How far down this do I really want to go? I got a couple things I want to say here about Steve Daintz. First of all, leave us alone. First and foremost, above all, cannot stress this enough. Leave this alone. We have a lot of issues in the world right now. Serious problems that need to be solved. And without getting too deep into the politics of everything, especially the week after the election, ultimately, putting my political analyst hat on right now, the country decided, whether you agree with what happened or not, and I am not going to get into where I stand on that because this is a sports radio show and I don't feel like getting fired today. But the country voted predominantly because they wanted things fixed. No matter who you think had the better solutions, there is no doubt that all over this country, Americans feel like there are real problems to be solved. And by the way, that is not something that is just limited to America. Arguably, the biggest factor in the presidential election was merely incumbency, and that follows a trend that is literally every country in the world right now. Every organized democracy in the world that has had an election in the last few years has booted out the incumbent candidate. Why? Because there are real problems with the current state of global affairs, global economy, its foreign policy, the way countries interact, the way things are at home in all of these different countries. Latin America, there are 20 new governments in like the last 2 years because people all over the world are upset about real things that affect their lives on a daily basis. In the United States election and exit polls, over 70% of Americans said they feel some type of financial hardship due to inflation over the last bunch of years. Again, a result of a global economy that post-COVID is still very much recovering and many people feel was not working beforehand. And that is a symptom of things that many administrations have done, both parties, over time. And this clown is on the Senate floor a week after that election talking about a football team logo. For a team that plays 2,000 miles from his home state? I cannot stress enough, Steve Daintz, leave us the hell alone. But if you want to play this game, we can play this game. Because you, sir, a Republican senator, and again, if you agree with Steve Daintz on what I'm about to talk about, okay, that's a different conversation for a different time. But the Republican Party in this country has demonized DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Things that, in my personal opinion, should be fundamental things that we believe in based off what the founding fathers said 200, 300 years ago. Hey, every man created equal. That whole deal, every man created equal, and man in that case is actually gender neutral. Everyone created equal is a thing that, as a goal statement of the United States, is something that I think most of us would agree with. How we accomplish that and what DEI means practically is a bit more controversial. And again, that's a different show. But the idea that you would have the gall on this topic, a football team logo, to invoke DEI, when you have demonized DEI and your party has demonized DEI at every turn, is so politically hackish that it would be embarrassing, except for it appears, Steve Daintz, that you are not capable of embarrassment. And again, if you don't believe in DEI as a political stance, as a policy theory, fine, then don't believe in it. But then you don't get to come on the Senate floor and use it when it's convenient for you. You're full of crap, man. You're in the way of something that could generate potentially billions of tax dollars for this city, a city that desperately needs it for education, a city that desperately needs it for housing assistance, because so much of our land is controlled by the federal government that it is hard to build in D.C. You're in the way. And look, there are economists that say stadiums are actually bad and that you shouldn't invest. Fine, but that's not the argument you're making. You're making a specific argument about a logo for a team name that doesn't even exist anymore. You said it yourself.
We are the Commanders.
Okay, Doug Williams said that.
We are the Commanders.
But they are the Commanders. They're not the old team name anymore. So why do you want the logo back outside of being a political hobby horse playing these stupid political games like the silly political hack that you either are acting like or it very much seems like are? Like, cannot stress enough. Leave us alone. What is wrong with you? Solve the problems that the people who elected you here are actually striving for the government to be of assistance in solving. And stop wasting your time on this so that you can hold up land in our city that you don't care about and you wouldn't have control over if it was literally 5 miles in any direction. Freaking hack. It's garbage. Hate it so much. Hate it so much. Cannot stress how absurd it is, how embarrassing it is. And yet, here you are on the Senate floor, just embarrassing yourself word after word, sentence after sentence. Great job, Steve. Fantastic work. Thank God we have competition Wednesday next because that's fun. That's right. I said we're having fun next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And Anthony, I did go into the YouTube chat after our last segment because I'm like, if I light a politician on fire, what's the chat going to look like? And it wasn't, you would think like some people would be like really mad. Some people would be like, you don't get it. Blah, blah, blah. Nope. 100% approval rating from people who seem to have voted for both people in last week's presidential election. But we found bipartisanship in Washington, everybody. We all hate Steve Daines for doing this stupid political stunt on the Commanders logo. Congratulations to us.
You love to see it, man.
Shameless hack. Drives me. I should stop before I get going again. It's Competition Wednesday here on the Hoffman Show. And that means we go head-to-head on three games. And we pick them against the spread. And if we need a tiebreaker, Anthony and I pick the same game and take opposite sides. So we have ensured ourselves that there will be no ties. And Anthony, I just got to say before we get started here, when I pick the games on Monday... last week, First Impression Selection Show, because the Rams lost, I went, I believe, 9-4 on the week. So by that math, you would think that the chances for you were not good. Nope. However, one of the games I think I picked for Wednesday was the Rams. So I only missed four games. I'm pretty sure that I missed at least one of the... or one of those four is on my list here. So, Anthony, there's a chance that wheel of mediocre punishment that sits behind you is coming on over to the Hoffman side of this production.
Yeah, I don't think I did good, though.
There's only one way to find out.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, the results of Competition Wednesday. The first game I picked last week was the New England Patriots to cover... a 6.5-point spread against the Chicago Bears.
What did they do?
Well, Anthony, they won the football game outright, straight up, smoked them by 16. Could have been +6.5 or -6.5. It was +6.5. It's 1-0 for your boy. CH 1-0.
I don't know what it is, man. You keep predicting the upsets, man.
hey, that's the thing. You got to get the points. God. The points on your side is better than the points not on your side. So, your next game, or your first game, was actually the Washington game. Pittsburgh, when we picked it on Wednesday, was 2.5-point dogs. Well, Anthony, they won the football game.
And I picked Pittsburgh, right?
You picked Pittsburgh.
I was hoping I was going to be wrong. If we would have kicked a field goal, I still would have been right, right?
Yeah, if they won by two, that would have been what I predicted, which is Pittsburgh covers, Washington wins.
Yes.
But you doesn't matter about the result for the purposes of the competition Wednesday in terms of the game. It matters the gambling scoreboard, which had Pittsburgh plus 2.5 to start and Pittsburgh plus even more than that by the end. Because they went outright. Next up. Oh, this was a close one for me. But I got it done. Because I do believe the final in the Minnesota-Jacksonville game was 12-7, which is 5.
And the hook.
I have Minnesota minus 4.
Oh, what?
It wasn't even 4.5. It was a straight 4.
Dang.
And so that is 2-0 for me.
I thought you got the Rams game wrong.
So far, well, we'll get to the Rams game.
Oh,
the Rams
okay.
game. I will ultimately, yes, spoiler alert, I will go 2-1.
Okay.
I still don't know about you yet.
I don't either.
This one's good for you. And you were Philadelphia minus 7. Big number.
Let's go, man. 2-0, baby. Let's go.
2-0 because they won by a million.
Yeah, they put belt to butt.
They put belt to butt. Jerry is like, I don't know. Curtains. Ah. I don't know why I just did Jerry Jones impression that way. The point is, it was a real bad day for the Dallas Cowboys.
Man.
It was the worst day for the Los Angeles Rams because they're at least supposed to be good. They just kept shooting themselves in the foot. This game was a 1-point spread. I just needed LA to win.
Yeah,
and I would at least get a push. They didn't. That's 2-1. Anthony, the last game for you.
I think I know what it is.
Was Detroit.
Ah!
Houston.
I didn't have Jared Goff throwing 5 interceptions, man. I just didn't.
Neither did I.
And had sucks. He not.
Sucks for you. But it especially sucks for you, Anthony. This game was 26-23. Earlier in the week, it was minus 3. By the time you picked it, it was 3.5.
Are you serious?
100% serious.
I could have at least got a push.
You would have had a push, which would have meant that we didn't need the tiebreaker. However, Anthony, I have bad news for you. We need the tiebreaker.
What was the tiebreaker?
Do you know? You don't remember which game was the tiebreaker?
Was it the 49ers game?
It was not.
Was it the Ravens Bengals?
Nope.
Who was it? Cardinals.
Nope. It's the Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants in Germany. Dankeschön, Carolina Panthers. I had the Panthers plus 6.5.
This isn't the life I deserve, dog. Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
It's right here written down. It is right here written down in the spreadsheet.
Let me go check.
It's the first impression selection spreadsheet. I got a separate column for us over to the side.
Oh my god. Week 10.
That was by the
NFL
way.
NFL scoreboard.
Yep. Check it. Yeah, I mean just double check it to make sure. Make sure that I didn't
which game did I was it?
It was the Carolina.
No, not the Carolina, the one my third game.
Detroit Houston, and it was minus 3.5.
I'm about to cry, man. This is insane.
So that is a victory for me.
Oh my god.
For the fifth week in a row.
This can't be serious. This can't be real.
You currently owe the show 2 ice baths.
Sadly I do. I do indeed, Craig.
Yeah. So behind you, Anthony, is the Wheel of Mediocre Punishment. We still have not replaced the
fantasy football sub
on it. I'll put it back on the board for you this week.
Okay.
I will say that you are eligible for me to sub someone out on your fantasy team.
That's okay.
So I'm going to need you to bring that wheel over. And and give that sucker a spin as a reminder as Anthony sets up the wheel and brings it on over into frame. There's a fantasy sub where I get to make a sub on Anthony's fantasy football team. There is 100 push-ups, which must be done before 6 o'clock. There is an ice bath, which really at this point we should take off because also, like, you already owe the show two, and we have to go do that. There's buying the other person on the show lunch. And then there is also a costume show where you have to wear a classic disguise, the glasses and fake mustache with the goofy-looking nose for at least part of the show. I believe that's all the punishments, Anthony. Oh, also, hot wings. You have to eat 5 hot wings. Not extra hot, not like Da Bomb level on hot ones, but somewhere south of Da Bomb. Anthony, are you ready to spin the wheel? You're so experienced at it.
I am.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let's make sure that we're ready. All right, Anthony, spin the wheel. It's still spinning, and it has landed on lunch. Yeah! I get lunch on Anthony Haney, baby.
I'll take it.
I think the best one for show content on the ice bath is going to be funny. The push-ups were also really good. I'm a little sad that you haven't had to do the 100 push-ups yet.
I'm glad I didn't have to do it today. I did chest day today, and I'm a little tight up
sore
in here. Yeah.
I would have let you do it tomorrow.
Oh, no, I would have knocked him out today.
Okay.
I would have got the job done for sure.
I mean, who could doubt you? on that front, on your picks.
Oh my gosh.
Here's the thing. I am at the point where I feel bad for you.
You feel bad for me.
I genuinely feel bad for you because you have gone the last couple of weeks 2-1, lost on a tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last week you at least went 1-2. But the week before, you went you went 0-3. The week before though, you went 2-1. And the week before that, you went 2-1. So you've had, during the stretch, a bunch of really good performances. Just, I've been a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, good, but just not good enough.
Mm.
And just remember, Craig, you were making fun of me. The last time I did that, I went, what is this, week 5?
Yeah.
Of me spinning the wheel, I went 5 straight weeks of losing, so.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that might not have had something to do with the making fun of, and it might have had something to do with the capabilities of picking games of the people involved.
Possibly. Possibly. Ah, oh my gosh. Well, a push would have saved me.
Push would have saved you, but alas, that hook, that 3.5, it's killer.
It's all good.
It's killer. You ready to try again? You don't really have a choice, so.
Yeah.
We will pick 3 more games plus a tiebreaker next, and then we get back to Commanders-Eagles at 6 o'clock. Will Commanders-Eagles be amongst our picks? We'll find out next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. All right, let's dive into it on a Competition Wednesday. Yeah, it's still Competition Wednesday, even though the week is short. I don't know if it actually is for the Commanders in Ashburn, but it is for us. And we're going to see about the 3 games that Anthony and I are going to pick. Again, we'll pick a 4th game head-to-head against the spread. We are technically allowed to pick the same game if we feel really strongly. However, we have never actually done it. Anthony, I am first up again because that is the nature of things. Let's see. What game do I want to start with? This was a weird week. Or a weird week of picking games. There's a bunch of big numbers, but not quite as big as there has been, with the exception of Jacksonville-Detroit. And Tony and I were actually on different sides of a lot of games this week, to the point that I really don't know where I want to start. I'm not going to forfeit my first up-its here, but I'm going to buy into the free fall theory. I'm going to pick the Packers over the Bears. It's a 5-point spread. I know that they might be a boost from the Bears firing their offensive coordinator, it can't get worse. That team is talented. They'll probably be a little more focused offensively. But some of the problems they have, they certainly can't fix in a week. Some of it they can because it's play calling and, you know, how you use certain guys and just, like, install the offense differently. Hey, Rome, you're going to be over here. DJ, you're going to be over here. All right, we're going to call the screens to DJ more. We're going to do not put Keenan Allen in a position to block as much. Like, there's stuff you can do pretty instantly, but I also just think the morale in that building is crap. And I think that Green Bay coming off the bye hopefully can freshen up. This game started open the week at -6. It's down to 5 with the coordinator change. I'm still going to take Green Bay -5.
I like that game. Dang.
It's a hard week.
It is a hard week. But I think I'm going to start with tomorrow night's game.
Oh.
I said this on Monday, I think, or Tuesday, or maybe even today. But I think the Eagles are going to win this game tomorrow. And I like the Eagles plus the points.
So you got Eagles -3.5 here. So you got the, you got that nasty hook again.
It is. It definitely is concerning. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little hesitant, but I think the Eagles are going to get the job done. But I'm praying I'm wrong. I'm praying the Commanders go out there and win the game.
It's so funny. What happens if I go 3-0, you go 2-1, and that's the loss? Will you be happy next Wednesday? I'll tell you what, Anthony, I'm going to cut you a deal in the spirit of competition here.
Oh, my gosh.
If I go 3-0, it has to be 3-0. If I go 2-1 and you go 1-2 and you lose by a game, it literally has to be. If I go 3-0 and you go 2-1 and this loss is the loss, we shake hands, no one spins the wheel. Or we go to the tiebreaker.
We go to the tiebreaker.
Okay, we go to the tiebreaker. So I'm essentially giving you a pick of immunity here.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Because I think it takes gumption to get on the radio here in D.C. and go, yeah, uh-huh, I'm going to pick against the Commanders.
Yep.
Especially in a division game.
Yep.
Especially in prime time.
That's me.
But I also respect it. I respect it. Next up. God, I hate these games this week.
Yeah, they stink.
There's some actual good games. There's also some absolute craptastic football. I'm going to take, let me double check and see what this number has gotten to as the week has gone on here. Please tell me it moved in the direction I want it to. Yeah, it did. Sweet. The Baltimore Ravens opened as 3.5-point favorites over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Baltimore is real, real good. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are real good. I think the Ravens will win. I think there's a chance they win going away because of the explosiveness of what they can do offensively. Everyone go, oh, well, they just were able to contain Jaden. Jaden never seen that defense before. Lamar sees it twice a year. It's a different challenge. And so I am going to go, even though it's Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
You know, Lamar has maybe, I think Lamar has one win against Pittsburgh.
Lamar's playing the best football of his life. He also has Derrick Henry now.
You make two great points.
If the Steelers cover Lamar in the run game the way they covered Jaden, Derrick Henry's going to rush for 250 yards.
This one's interesting.
I'm going Baltimore -3 here.
I low-key want this to be the tiebreaker.
Okay.
I want to go with the Steelers.
Tiebreaker. All right, we're doing this out of order.
I'm going with the Steelers.
Tiebreaker.
And it's CH,
Baltimore -3.
Lamar doesn't win against the Steelers. Not often.
Okay.
I'm just going with the probability, man. I like Pittsburgh's probability here.
Probabilities are useful tools.
Yes.
The past is what it is. They are not always indicative of a future performance. That's all I'm...
You might be right, Craig. You might just be right.
That's all I'm going to say. Where did that game go then? Why can't I find the game that I want? This is terrible radio. Where's the... Is this game not on the board? What are we doing? There we go. Nope. That line jumped in a major way. All right. I'm going to go with one of the crap games. The Browns are visiting the Saints.
Yep.
The Saints are coming off a win. The Browns are coming off a loss the last time they played. this game, actually, no, it has stayed where it was. It is New Orleans minus one. I'm going to take Cleveland in the point. Why? Because the Saints aren't good. The Browns aren't good either. But I get a point with Cleveland. And when the Saints all of a sudden feel better about themselves, it's a perfect time for them to go and get wrecked and lose a disappointing game at home. Give me the Browns. Why? I don't know. I feel dirty just saying that out loud. Give me the Browns. Never again. But sure, this week.
Yeah, you taking the Browns is definitely shocking, to say the least.
I actually don't even want to. I kind of want to already change it. I'll let you pick. If the game that I want to change to is still on the board by the end, I'll switch it.
All right, game two for me, Battle of Texas, Texans, Cowboys.
Some battle this is.
I know I'm supposed to stay away from these points.
These big numbers?
Yeah, these big numbers, man. But Craig, I can't help it. The Cowboys stink.
They sure do.
And I think Nico Collins comes back this week. I'm hoping he does because the Texans need him bad. But I'm going to take the Texans minus the 7.5.
Yeah, it's 7.5. That is a big, big number. But Tony and I both picked Houston as well in this game. I don't trust it enough to put it here, but I 100% understand why you are doing it. The last game I'm going to go with, I literally hate all of these games. I hate it. I don't feel good about any. I feel like I said that last week too. And I'm kind of just taking some wild cards here, but Atlanta-Denver is a super wild card, and both these teams are incredibly inconsistent. I think Denver's probably a little, I'm hoping they're a little high on their own supply after thinking they should beat, we should have beat the Chiefs. We're a field goal away. Atlanta's like, you know, we gotta fix everything because we lost a division game to New Orleans. Atlanta's a 2.5-point dog. I'll take the 2.5. Give me Atlanta.
I like that game, too. Love that game. I think for my last pick, though, Craig.
Don't take the one I want to switch out the other game with.
I think I'm going to go with the Bengals.
Yes! I thought
about
this game,
too. 1.5 against the Chargers. I think this is a must-win for the Bengals. The Bengals still have a chance to, you know, make some noise in the AFC. If they're going to make any noise, they got to win this game right here. Give me them Bengals plus 1.5.
That
they cover.
Yeah, that game is is really, really important for Cincinnati because they are a genuinely great offense with a pretty mediocre to on a good day to bad on most days defense. And if they can just figure it out to be average on defense, they would be dangerous in the playoffs. I'm switching the Cleveland game because the second I said give me the Browns, I just felt my body shudder with like an actual chill.
Understood.
I'm gonna go with the Rams. They are 5-point favorites against the Patriots.
Yeah, the
Patriots. That started at 5.5, but then the Rams lost on Monday Night Football. So I'm going to go with the Rams, and that should say minus 5. It's an even 5. Am I seeing that right? You got minus 5 on that one?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, so Rams minus 5, because I think the Patriots, I know what they did to the Bears. The Bears are terrible. The Rams are not the Bears. The Rams are going to win by a lot. All right, That's it. That's Competition Wednesday. Those are the picks. I'm actually off the radio show early next week, but I think I'm going to check in on Wednesday for Competition Wednesday purposes. So we'll get to it again Wednesday at 5:30. We get back. It is time for our Pick 6 at 6. You'll hear from Dan Quinn ahead of Eagles Commanders tomorrow night.